Welcome to A Quiet Laugh. I'm Ruth Amos, your host, and I'm really, really happy to have you here with me. Wherever you're listening today, it is really good to be here as I talk to you about one of my very favourite things, which is sleep. I love sleeping. I think most people do. Anyway, I had a really great chat to Scotty this morning on Ultra 106.5, and I would like to shout out to Scotty because he listens to the podcast. So he told me this morning. He told me off for thinking he didn't listen. He does. So hi, Scotty. Good to chat with you. Good to chat with you this morning. Good to chat with you now. And good to chat with everyone who's listening to this podcast. Anyway, have a listen to what Scotty and I had to say about sleep this morning, and then I'm going to unpack it a bit and give you quite a few more bits of information that I learned about sleeping. Sleeping is wonderful. Have a listen.
Ruth Amos is with me on Ultra 106.5 this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Yeah, all right.
You said before you were a bit groggy.
Yeah. I woke up at about 5:30 this morning and thought, I need more sleep because, you know that early bird night owl thing? Yeah, I think I'm somewhat more of a permanently exhausted pigeon stuck there in the middle. Anyway, so I went back to sleep. But of course, as you know, that means that I woke up in the middle of a sleep cycle and I was just like,
Yeah. Well, Christopher Waterhouse gave me some really good, and he's way younger than me, but he gave me some really good advice a number of years ago. He said, when you wake up in the morning, even if it's like 5 o'clock in the morning or four, he goes, don't go back to sleep. Like that means that you're the end of a sleep cycle. Get out of bed. He said, if you try and go back to sleep, you're going to feel rotten all day.
Yeah. So there you go. Caffeine's a wonderful thing. But you were talking to me last time. This is why we're talking about this time. You were talking to me last time about timing your
bedtime.
Yeah. So that your wake-up time works with sleep cycles. So sleep cycles are about 90 to 110 minutes long. So if you count sort of an hour and a half back in hour and a half segments, you can get... Yeah, so and you've been doing that, I hear.
Yeah, I've been doing it. And so I'm like, all right, so I've got to be up at this time, so calculate back. All right, so I've got to go to bed at this time. There's actually a really cool website, and I should know the name, but it's basically you can go in, you can type in your wake-up time, and then it'll give you a range of times that you should then go to sleep at.
Yeah, awesome. But you know what, Moz was doing that, so this is my time for oversharing about my husband. It's, you know, very exciting. I checked with him first. He was doing that. Like he would calculated that he needed to be in bed at 10:30. So he'd come down to bed at 10:30, but then he's lying in bed going, I have to fall asleep now. If I don't fall asleep
I'm going to mess up my sleep cycles.
And that's a bit stressful. So I would add to that, give yourself a little bit of time. And in fact, what he does now is he comes to bed when I do, which is quite early. You know, somewhere between 9 and 9:30, he reads for a bit, he goes to sleep, and then he wakes up. Because you know what he was doing was he was going to bed after me, so he had that little bit of time alone in the house. And we all love that little bit of time alone in the house. Yeah. Now he comes to bed with me, but he wakes up somewhere 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning most mornings. And then he gets up then and has his little bit of time alone in the house. Then he watches telly or, you know, browses the internet or does whatever he does. But that means that he's actually able to go to sleep when he needs to because...
And it's also nice that you get to go to sleep together then too.
Yeah, well, he snores, so...
It's really worked for me, but I'm the same. Like if I have to read or something before I go, and I try not to get on my phone because you know the whole blue light thing,
absolutely
messes with your brain and stuff.
Yeah,
and so I try and read a little bit, and the trouble is, give me 5 minutes of reading and I'm gone.
Like, yeah, awesome.
Like I just can't. But the trouble is that translates into any time during the day. so I'll be reading a book. Like I've had to read a book because I'm interviewing an author in a week's time. And I'm trying to read this book, and every time I pick it up, I'm like falling asleep. I'm like, stay awake.
You know, Winston Churchill napped every afternoon during World War II. He'd actually go down to his little study, down the bottom of wherever it was, and get changed into his pajamas and go to bed and nap for a sleep cycle or so. And then he'd get up refreshed, and that meant he could go later into the night working. So naps aren't bad things. Naps are actually...
I like naps. Naps are good. My kids tease me all the time. So, I mean, you know, not that you're a nana just yet, but nana naps for you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I try half an hour. I usually sleep for half an hour. And then again, like Christopher Waterhouse said, if you feel like you've woken up, get up. Don't turn over, especially with a nap. Don't turn over. It's going to ruin the rest of your day. Yeah. Just, you know, your eyes open. Okay, I'm up now. But yeah, for me, that's usually about half an hour.
Nice.
So yeah, it's wonderful, makes a huge difference.
It really does. Hey, that great advice this morning. So about an hour and a half to about 110 minutes.
Yep.
Calculate back and get yourself some nice sleep and feel rested the next day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, your website is ruthamos.com.au.
Yeah, and if you want to hear more about the benefits of sleep, because I'm such a big fan, that'll be on my podcast that you can find there or by searching A Quiet Life on any of your podcatchers.
Beautiful. Hey, thanks, Ruth.
Thank you.
See you in a couple of weeks.
So I did a little bit of searching when I got home and I found the sleep calculator website, and so I'll put that in the show notes for you. And I also wanted to say I do like going to bed at the same time as my husband. It is a nice thing to do. I felt a bit bad about what I shared on radio. It must be a catching disease or something. You've heard Scotty overshare and now you've heard me. Anyway, it's all good. Yeah, so sleeping is so important, and I have been reading a book called Rest, and it's by someone called Alex Soo-Jung Kim Pang. And if you just search rest on Amazon, you'll find it. And it has all sorts of research into rest, sleep, play, you know, how important play is, and doing things he called like deep rest, where your play activities, your non-work activities, are as in-depth as your work activities, but in a different area. So scientists who play musical instruments, for example, or scientists who go rock climbing, you know, how important exercise is as part of your rest and all that kind of stuff. So I highly recommend that. Rest by Alex Soo-Jung Kim Pang. So one of the things that Alex says in his book is no sleep is going to be lost time. Sleep is actually so, so important. So let me list off just a few things that sleep can do for you. And I've put some other websites with other things as well in the show notes as well. But here's some things that I learned from the book Rest. Sleep is important for brain growth and repair. It's important for body growth and repair, for fighting infections. And because it's important for body growth, that's why teens need more. They produce more of the hormone that helps them grow and that makes them sleepy. And so they sleep more because that's what when you grow. So you can actually, I think they've measured teens, now this wasn't in the book, this is just coming off the top of my head, but measure them when they go to sleep, measure them when they wake up, and there's a distinct difference in their height. And I know that my son Caleb, who is quite tall, I tell you what, you could tell all his life, you could tell when he was growing. So even when he was a baby, he would, when he was a baby and he was going through a growth spurt, he would sleep for 13 hours at night and 3 hours during the day. And I tell you what, that really worked for me. So sleep, very important for growth of your brain and of your body. And when you sleep, some cells in your brain generate a substance called myelin. And you may have heard of myelin because it's very important in terms of getting the nerve signals from one end of your nerve to the other. So your signals jump along, I'm going into too much depth, aren't I? But they jump along something called an axon and they jump through myelin. That's very badly described, but I'm sure you can look it up. And it's really important. And if you don't have it, so myelin is the thing that is missing in multiple sclerosis. It stops the nerves' signals from getting through properly. And myelin is generated when you sleep. When you sleep, also the toxins get cleaned out of your brain. Your brain cells actually shrink to allow the fluid in the brain to go through and wash out the toxins. So it's really important. Your brain injuries are repaired. Your skin injuries are repaired as you sleep. So if you don't sleep, you are more susceptible to ulcers, to heart disease, to breast cancer, to diabetes, and even lack of sleep is linked with dementia and cognitive decline, although they're not really sure which one comes first there. So We'll just say, on the safe side, make sure you get a good night's sleep. When you sleep, your memories are solidified. So during your REM sleep, which is mostly when you dream, that's where your visual and emotional and procedural memories get solidified. So when you're dreaming about, if you've started a new job and you find yourself dreaming about that job every night, that's probably because your brain's just trying to make sure that it's packed into memory the things you have to do for your new job. It's really annoying, but it's the way your brain works. And then during slow wave sleep, your more verbal memories are solidified in your brain. So it's good for being able to remember things and recall things. And the other thing that's really fascinating about sleep is that while you're sleeping, your subconscious keeps working. So your brain doesn't just shut off. You might think it does, but it doesn't. what happens is that your subconscious keeps working on problems. So a lot of creative people, if they've, or scientists, or mathematicians or whatever, if they've got a problem they need to solve, they've got some issue that they've been working on and working on and they can't get to the bottom of it, they think about it last thing at night before they go to bed, and then they go to sleep, and then their brain keeps working on it while they sleep, wake up in the morning, problem solved. So that's a really nice thing that sleep actually does for you. I think that going for long walks has a similar effect, and there's other ways that you can trick your subconscious into doing the work of your brain for you. But sleep is one of those very important places where that works. So yeah, when you think about all the things, the important things that your body and brain is doing while you sleep, you know, it's so tempting for us to think, I must be productive, I have to be productive, so this sleep time that's in the evening, well, it's not doing anything for me, it's not getting any of my jobs done, so I may as well just, you know, cut into it. I'm going to stay up 2 hours extra and do more work, or I'm going to break into it early in the morning and do more work. And, you know, waking up early in the morning and doing work is actually really excellent. It works very, very well. But in order to compensate for that, you need to go to bed earlier at night. It's just something that we really need. It's not something that we can skimp on. Sleep is a vital part of how our bodies and brains work. And so I know I talked about this when I talked about rest before, but just making sure that you get enough sleep is really important. And so how do you do that? I heard a podcast the other day and it just horrified me. This guy was saying, oh, I don't sleep very well. He said, I don't like going to sleep. And so what I do is I sit and stare at Twitter on my phone until my eyes are literally closing, and then I turn off my phone and go to sleep. Staring at Twitter on your phone is probably the worst way of going to sleep that you can do. I mean, I'm not really sure what could be less sleep inducing, because we know that Twitter and all social media works on the dopamine system of your brain. So you get a dopamine hit every time you see a new tweet, or, you know, if it's something that you're interested in, and it becomes quite addictive. And then at the same time, it can be irritating or aggravating if you disagree with the people, or, you know, you can feel like getting in an argument, and so you can start to get quite het up. And all of these things, as well as the blue light that's coming out of your phone and shining into your eyes, telling your body, oh, it's wake up time now, because that's that dawn light thing that makes you feel awake. So physically and mentally, staring at Twitter until you can't open your eyes any longer is probably the worst way of going to sleep. I was horrified. I was absolutely horrified. So one of my first tips for helping you sleep better is to turn off your screens. And I tend to, as I said, I go to bed quite early, but I try to have my TV off and not look at my phone anymore after about 8:30 at night. And I will read a book instead. And reading a book is a really good way to get in contact with your body and realize that, oh, I'm actually tired after all, and sets you along the path of going to sleep. And I do read on a Kindle as well as just a normal book, but both of those don't have that blue light. I guess if you're reading on an iPad or something, you're still looking at a screen. So maybe a paper book is better, or something that's not going to give you that. Or you can get apps that block the blue light from your screen so that you're not getting that blue light wake up from your screen. But anyway, however you do it, screens off, probably half hour to three quarters an hour before you want to go to bed, I think is a good idea. Caffeine. Yeah, I love caffeine. As I said, it's a great wake up, but don't drink it after about lunchtime. Its half-life in your body is about 6 hours. So that means that 6 hours after you drink your last caffeine, you've still got half the caffeine in your body that you had when you started. So it takes a while to get out of your system. And I know that not everybody, in fact, most people are not as responsive to caffeine as I am. It really has a big effect on me. So, you know, I'm not saying don't drink it, but just if you're finding you're not sleeping very well, try cutting it out, especially in the afternoons. Exercise. Do it. It's really good. But also do it a few hours before you want to go to sleep. I know you can get to the point at the end of the day when you think, oh, I haven't exercised, I'm not going to sleep very well. But going out for a jog at 10 o'clock at night is probably not the best way to calm your body down and get you to sleep. It's better to be a little bit more organized and do it a bit earlier in the day, a few hours before you want to go to sleep. Okay, no phone or TV in the bedroom. I mean, that goes without, you know, saying no screens, but keep your bedroom for sleeping. Don't have your workplace in the bedroom. Some people working from home will put their desk in their bedroom. It's a dreadful thing to do because you go into that room and your body primes itself for work rather than priming itself for sleep. And those procedural memories have a big effect on us. So try and keep your bed for sleeping and intimacy and not for work. So yes, reading in bed, I think is fine as long as that's part of your going to sleep routine, but not working in bed, bad idea. Okay, and then as always, you know, it may feel like an old wives' tale. You've probably read it in an Enid Blyton book, but warm milky drink before bed calms you down, and having your room quite cool if you possibly can. Very easy this time of year for us in the southern hemisphere, not so easy in the summer, but a cool room is better for sleeping. And another thing that I have learnt recently, because I had struggled with sleeping because I was worried, I was anxious, and so I would wake up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom and then go back to bed and lie there and worry for a couple of hours, or plan. I've learned that planning, what I was telling myself I was planning, was actually worrying. It's the same thing when you can't do anything about it and it's just running around and around in your brain. And the technique that I learned to deal with this is to set aside a time to worry during the day. Now, I have been told to worry first thing in the morning, so sometime before 8 a.m., but I have read also on one of these websites that, you know, you might want to have your worry time at, you know, just before bed at 8 o'clock or something at night. But you set aside a time. You say, this is my worry time and this is when I'm going to do my worrying. So you sit down and you say to your brain, right, what are you worried about? And you let it out and write it down. And one of the things that I found really, really helpful is then to fold that piece of paper up and put it in my trusty little shoebox that I have here next to my desk. And that shoebox is God's inbox. And I say, God, these are yours. You deal with them. It's amazing to see how he does. It's really been eye-opening that when I give those worries to God in the morning and I think about them in the evening when I go to bed, I think, oh, yeah, he did sort that out. He did make time for this to happen. He did give me an opportunity to do that. He did fix this situation with this person. So, yeah, I have a worry time where I do my worrying and I then give those worries to God. And then if I wake up in the night and I find myself starting to worry, think, no, no brain. Look, thank you for bringing that to my attention. I appreciate that it's something that we will want to worry about, but we can worry about that in the morning during the worry time that I've set aside for worrying about things. So you can bring it back to my attention tomorrow morning when I have my bit of paper and my pen and I'm set up to worry. It sounds weird, but it has really helped me to be able to wake up and then roll over and go back to sleep. So I think that's enough raving about my favourite subject, sleep. But I do hope and pray that you will have a good night's sleep tonight, and that if you are struggling to sleep, that maybe one of these little hints and tips that I've suggested today will help you out, and so that you can get the amount of sleep that you need for your body to do and your brain to do all the important things that it does during sleep. It really is important. We're made with this function and we need to make sure that we don't skimp on it. It's an important part of our lives. So happy sleeping to you. If this has been helpful to you, please share with somebody so that people get to listen to my podcast. I would really love to have an increased audience of my podcast. Or please, if you want to chat to me about any of it, give me a hoy. You can write to me, ruth@ruthamos.com.au. You can send me a message on Facebook, Ruth Amos Author. You can tweet me @aquietlifeblog. And I would love to hear from you. Do you have any other hints and tips about sleeping and how important it is? Do you have any anecdotes? Love the good anecdotes. I have talked to a few people recently who have found this podcast helpful, and I'm really, really happy to hear that. And people who've listened to me on Ultra and found that helpful too. And, you know, if you are finding it helpful, I'd love it if you spread the word about it. Sleep well tonight, and I will chat to you again soon.